spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Sunday night edition of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. For those of you that missed last night's show, you missed the announcement. Tim will not be with us tonight and was not with us last night, unfortunately. This weekend we lost his stepfather, had passed away, and our hearts and thoughts go out to Tim and his family in this time of need. We're there for you, buddy, if you need anything. And for those of you that have contacted me looking for a way to reach out to Tim, one thing I can encourage you to do is go to darknessradio.com. You'll see a link to my MySpace page. There I have a blog up with it, and Tim is checking the blog with his family. So feel free to give him some love, show him some love there at MySpace, or you may just email him directly at tim@darknessradio.com. Again, that's tim@darknessradio.com. Please understand he is going to be very busy dealing with family issues for the next couple of weeks here. So if he's not quick to respond to you, you understand that. Tim, you're in our thoughts. Had a great time this weekend. We went out to the Halloween party that we held out at the Palmer House Hotel. Had just a wonderful time meeting a lot of the listeners. A lot of good friends showed up for that. We had our entire cast and crew out there. Tim, myself, Nicole, Adrian, Susan, Bree. Just a wonderful time. Did some ghost hunting. I've been hearing back from some of the listeners that had some experiences, got some EVPs. We talked about it on last night's show briefly, but intern Ben was actually, during part of the ghost hunt, got scratched across the arms. And then we've got some pretty dramatic photographs of that as well. Ben, can you throw open your mic real quick for us?
I can.
Excellent. Thank you. So now you got scratched across the arm,
yeah,
right?
It was pretty much from like the middle of my upper arm all the way down to the wrist.
Okay. And there was nobody around you. How did it start to feel? I mean,
it started to feel really just like something was hot near my arm. Didn't feel like pain, just heat.
And it was underneath the shirt, or were you bare-armed? I don't remember what you were.
I had a T-shirt on, but, I mean, the scratches were up underneath the
T-shirt. Yeah, it was crazy when you showed me.
All the way down.
You showed me the next day.
Yep.
When it had already started to go down and heal. And Adrian, I think, took pictures of it.
Yeah, Adrian got pictures of it right away afterwards, so he's got, like, the most dramatic pictures of it.
So what we'll do is someday during this week, I'm going to have our website updated. We'll put up pictures from the event. You can also check out our MySpace. I'll have a bunch of pictures there, and we'll have pictures of Ben's arm, and we'll have the EVP Susan caught during that time frame when you were getting scratched.
Right.
So it was kind of eerie. We heard that EVP on last night's show. And if you listen and you miss any of our shows, you can always check them on the archives. There you'll see Darkness Radio. Just click on the podcast page and download all of our past shows. Since August 24th, you can download every show right there. They're fantastic. They're commercial-free. They're available for download at any time. And you can also subscribe to the podcast feed so you never miss another episode of Darkness Radio. You get to hear all the cool, creepy news of the week and keep up with all the great guests that we have. Well, Ben, I got to tell you, everybody was deeply impressed by the fact that you were clawed by a spirit and you were just totally unfazed by it.
So, I just didn't believe it, you know? I mean, even with the marks on my arm, I'm like, this can't be happening. This isn't one of the reports that is at this location.
Right. Which makes me wonder sometimes, you know, with some of the places we go into, if some of the people around us might have something hanging around with them that's not so nice.
It is possible, I guess.
You know, you hear about these places where there's no malevolence or any kind of weird haunting, but then a group comes in and some weird stuff happens.
Right.
So, interesting stuff. Did you have a good time at the party overall?
I did.
Good deal. Well, thank you very much for being out there. And last week, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you're listening to the show, the lovely Nicole was not able to join us. She was out at a function. She couldn't be a part of it, so we had in our guests doing a movie review last week. We had the guys from Transylvania TV, and they were out at our party this weekend as well. Had a great time with them. But guess what, folks? She's back with us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for movie reviews.
Was I missed?
Listen to this new intro we caught for you.
Obscure viewer of the violent and maker of the best peanut butter and jelly sandwiches we ever tasted. It's Movie Reviews live from the dungeon with Nicole Remini.
How about that, kitten, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like the EVP that we got in the basement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you guys got some good stuff. You were down there with Susan and Kim doing some ghost hunting, and Lisa, right, from Twin Cities Paranormal?
Yep, we did.
Now, you brought your mom in for this.
I did. Mom came in from L.A. because I was not going to sleep in a haunted house by myself.
I thought,
I'm not sleeping in a room. And then Lisa comes to me while we're, you know, before we go down on the ghost hunt.
Right.
And she's like, what room are you in? All quiet and concerned. I'm like, room one? Well, just so you know, there's a ghost in there. It's a guy. My daughter was taking a shower, and he blew on her neck. And in my head, I'm like, come on, you need to tell me this now? It's like 1:30 in the morning? But you know what's funny? Mom and I walked in that room, and Mom said, there's a ghost in the bathroom.
Really?
Like, immediately, as soon as we walked in, there's a ghost in the bathroom. And Lisa said, that's where he hangs out, is the bathroom.
Now, is your mom sensitive to this stuff?
My mom has always been sensitive to it, and it was funny because this weekend actually brought back a lot of childhood memories for her of moments that she experienced that she kind of forgot all about. She's like, oh, my gosh. And it just goes to show you, because even as a kid, when I'd experience things and I would see things, she would just go, yeah, I know. So she never was like, oh, you're crazy, kid. She always validated it. So I think in her own subconscious, it was so real to her, and she just blocked it out.
How about the rest of the family? Anybody else have these special talents to see in sensing?
You know, Leah doesn't even want to know. Like, we were on the way home, and we were waiting for Leah to wake up, you know, because of the time difference. And so she's like, okay, go ahead, tell me. No, don't tell me. And then we tell her, and she'd go, oh, my God, what if they're in the car with you, and then they're going to come on the phone? She's like, no, don't tell me. So she's like, the lights are flickering in the kitchen, and she'd blame it on the fact that we were just on a ghost hunt.
Well done. Well, you managed to squeeze in a movie viewing anyway. There's a new movie out on DVD.
I did.
And
today,
what did you... What'd you get into?
The day we came up.
Oh, really? You watched it that morning?
I watched it that morning. I was like, oh, my gosh, I need a movie.
So, wait, you made your mom watch a horror movie and go ghost hunting all in the same day? Well done. Which movie did we watch?
We watched The Strangers. Have you seen that?
You know, I got the DVD of it. I have not watched it yet. I want to pop this in. I was going to get to it tonight, but I was so tired from the party and from all the running around over the last 2 days. I watched a little Vikings football, and I slept. That's pretty much how I spent my day.
Okay, that's
but now good. I've heard from other people.
I
this is a
thing I get you while you were brushing your teeth.
Yeah, that's right. You called me when I was brushing. Now, I've heard this is a pretty terrifying movie. What was your take on it?
I'm going to say it's absolutely terrifying because this movie is based on true events. And so if you read the movie review, the very first thing I say to you is I dare you to watch this movie based on true events by yourself. Because I have to say the hairs on the back of my neck standing up almost from the first probably 7 or 8 minutes into the movie. Liv Tyler stars in the movie with Scott Speedman. I don't know who he is. He looks familiar, but these two did such a brilliant job of acting like a real couple and acting terrified. They're coming home from a wedding reception. Obviously, something is wrong. They're fighting. They're staying at his family's house and almost immediately banging on the door, and there's this blonde standing there, and the first thing she says, now, mind you, it's like 4 in the morning. They came home from a wedding reception, and there's this blonde standing at their door. Is Tamara home? They're like, you have the wrong house. Is Tamara home? And then it just all starts. And it's just psycho crazy. And the masks are so terrifying to see, you know, because it's just like, you know, a corn bag on some guy's head. And then...
So are these supernatural beings, or are they...
No, they're real people. And they only talk one time in the movie. And I'm not going to give away what they say. Because you go, of course, because...
I'm going to give it away. They say listen to Darkness Radio every Saturday and Sunday night on K-Talk.
You know, you had a blow over
I know.
The listeners.
It's important
you know
for
what?
Them to know
that. What I mean about you, you know, no secrets. So basically, the music was very smart. They had some very strange music playing on a... I don't even know what it's called anymore. When you play albums, what is that called?
That would be a record player. I get that you're trying to play the whole young card here, Nicole, but come on. What do you call those old-fangled things? Yeah.
I seriously blocked it out. They had a record playing on the record player that was like, why would anybody buy that? But the music was crazy smart, and then the silence at times is just absolutely unbearable. Then again, the movie is so noisy. But basically, these psychopaths come in and they torment this young couple all night, and it's just how they're going to survive. I mean, one minute she's like, this was the scary, one of the scariest parts for me, but I hate to give it away, but I have to, because it actually just made the hairs go on the back of my neck as I'm talking.
Okay.
She's smoking a cigarette, having a beer, and she's just standing at the sink, smoking a cigarette, beer, and the guy with the mask comes in the house, and he's just standing there watching her. He's actually in the house, and she has no idea. That moment sets the scene for the entire movie, and it's absolutely terrifying. And the fact that it's based on true events, absolutely.
Frightening stuff, huh? So is it more of a suspense thriller than it is a horror movie, though?
It is. Gosh, it was terrifying.
Like Silence of the Lambs, that kind of creepy suspense factor, or horror movie?
Well, it's pretty darn bloody, I will tell you that.
Okay, so we do have a lot of gore factor?
It's pretty darn bloody.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, the music and the quiet and the noise, it's just like, oh. So, and you just don't know. There are times, you know, she opens the window and you expect them to be there and they're not. And so, but the timing is perfect. It was a really good movie. Could not keep my eyes off the screen as much as I wanted to look away.
Great.
My daughter saw it for the second time, watched it underneath the blanket. Like, even knew it was coming, had to still have the blanket over her head. Mind you, bad mommy, this is not a movie for kids.
All right, good point. Let's make sure everybody knows that. So this is not one you should watch with, it should remain R-rated at home?
Yeah, well, and we had the unrated version.
Ah.
I don't know why, it was the only thing on the shelf. There is like a bleep sex, quick, not even, you know, like, right. Oh, they had sex. But that's it. But because of how terrifying it is, it's not for kids. I guess my kids saw it at a sleepover, and so I was like, all right, she's already seen it.
All right, so how many lights are you going to leave on in the house after you watch it? 1 to 5.
I would leave all 5 lights on, absolutely. Couldn't sleep by myself. Made my 12-year-old sleep with me that night.
Turn on a couple extra lights and go past the 5 light range? Is that what you're telling me?
There you go. Yep, night light and the 5 lights.
Good deal. All right, Nicole, thank you again, and we'll be back with you next week with a brand new movie, right?
Sounds good.
Do you know what you're looking at for us next week?
Am I what?
Do you know what you're looking for next week yet? Or are you going to just surprise us with a new title?
You know what? Let me just surprise you.
All right. Sounds
because
like a plan.
Because you know what? The reality is I'm going to surprise myself.
Good deal. Well, again, and people, if you have a movie that you think went under the wire and is a great horror movie, you can go to darknessradio.com, click on movie reviews, and there's a way to connect there with Nicole. You can write to her there and tell her which movies you think she should take a watch on for the upcoming movie reviews. You can also go to darknessradio.com, click on the MySpace page for Dave, and there's the lovely Nicole right in the top friend, so you can email her on MySpace as well. Nicole, thanks again.
No problem. Talk to you soon. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. We're going to be right back, guys. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness Radio. We're going to have international news correspondent joining us right after the break. And good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We have a great show for you lined up this evening, folks. You're going to want to stay with us. In the second hour, starting up at 10 o'clock, we're going to have Dr. Norman Shealy is going to be with us. We're going to be covering a plethora of different topics, everything from reincarnation to medical intuition, prayers, crystals, just a lot of great information that we've got. He's also going to give us a little prediction at the end of the show on the presidency, who's going to be our next president. And he has an interesting theory. We're going to bringing him back at the end of November to talk a little bit more about. And in the 11 o'clock hour, join us. We're going to be here with author Susan Weishart, who's written a new book called Soul Visioning, Clear the Past, Create Your Future. It's an amazing book. I've really enjoyed reading this. Discover your soul's wisdom and transform your life is the whole theory of this book. And we're going to talk about that tonight. We'll take your calls as well if you have questions for our guests. So stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 9:22, which means it's about 3 o'clock in the morning over in England. So you know what that means. International news.
Yo, Adrian.
Now with all the weird news from around the world, it's time for the Supernatural Stories of the Strange, International Edition. Live from London, international news correspondent Adrian Lee.
Well, good evening. How are you, Adrian?
Hi, Dave. Hello, America. That's a terrible line tonight. What have you phoned me on?
What, you got a crackly line going tonight?
You're a bit breaking up there, mate, but we shall deal with that. How are you? It only seems like yesterday since I saw you.
Yeah, boy, you had a long flight. You were here for the party with us and left yesterday morning. That's why we kind of switch things out. Usually on Sunday nights, we've got Susan and we've got Bree doing national news and book reviews. But last night, you were en route back over to England after our Halloween party. Did you have a good time at the party?
Fantastic. We don't really do Halloween greatly in Britain. I carved my first pumpkin and I dressed up for the first time. I actually realised the point I was getting old as well while I was in America. I can actually pin it down to the exact time and the exact day when I became old.
How was that?
Well, as you know, I decided to go as a Han Solo and I went into a Fleet Farm on the Sunday to buy some industrial plumbing parts to make a blaster for myself. And as I was putting the industrial plumbing parts through the till and the cashier was there, who was about 18 or 19, he said to me, if you're using these for plumbing and for farming, you can get a tax reduction. And I said, well, actually, I'm going to spray them silver and use them as a blaster for Han Solo. At which point he said, who's Han Solo?
Oh,
so at
no.
That very point in time, I looked at my watch and it was 5:20 on the Sunday. And I think to the very minute, that was the point I became old.
That's the exact moment. And that was kind of exciting. That was your first real Halloween celebration, right? First time you ever dressed up and celebrated the Halloween festivities.
That's right, yeah. One or two people over here do it, but it's not embraced greatly. I mean, we do have kids come to the door and they knock on the door and they say trick or treat. And most people tell them to go away. And then they say, well, you know, why can't you embrace American culture? So I say, well, go away or they'll shoot you.
That's a much better way to embrace American culture. Adrian, where are we going to go this week with news?
Okay, let's commence our journey with an iconic trip through London. So hold on tight, please. London's red buses could be plastered with the slogan, there's probably no God. Now stop worrying, enjoy your life. In an atheist advertising campaign responding to a set of Christian ads, comedy writer Ariane Shireen, 28, objected to the Christian advert on some London buses, which carried an internet address warning that people who rejected God were condemned to spend eternity in torment in hell. So no irony there, placed on a London bus.
Nice.
In the rush hour.
So
she sought $8 donations towards a reassuring counter-advertisement and received the backing of the British Humanist Association, the BHA. The campaign has already smashed $10,000 and the slogan is planned to hit the side of several London buses in January. We see so many posters advertising salvation through Jesus or threatening us with eternal damnation that I feel sure that a bus advert like this will be welcomed as a breath of fresh air, said the BAH chief executive, Hannah Stinson. Dawkins said the campaign to put alternative slogans on buses will make people think. I mean, I didn't realise that you could pay to get a message on the side of a London bus, a big double-decker like this, and I like the idea of using them as a rich person's post-it notes. You could be waiting by the side of the road late at night in Piccadilly Circus. When you see go past you, what time do you call this? You treat this place like a hotel, followed by your dinners in the trash. A Church of England spokesman said, we would defend the right of any group representing a religious or philosophical position to be able to promote the views through appropriate channels. However, Christian belief is not about worrying or not about enjoying life. Quite the opposite. Our faith liberates us to put this life into a proper perspective. So this is just typical in many respects. You know, you wait your whole life for a sign, and then three come along all at once.
Oh, Adrian, where are we off to next?
Well, moving at London bus walking pace, we're now in Yorkshire. Cleaners at a Leeds hotel discovered some unexpected guests in one of the rooms this week. Staff at the Hilton telephoned the RSPCA after a visitor left behind a pair of rare African giant land snails. Tracy Gert of the RSPCA Leeds said, although their shells are fist size, they can grow to a foot in length. They were found in a hotel room, but the staff did not know what to do with them. Now, I suspect that they perhaps didn't have trouble catching them. And why would a snail need a hotel room anyway? Surely they carry their home around with them on the back of their on their backs, don't they, in their shells?
Everybody wants to get away, though, Adrian. That's what I got to guess, right? They, you know, even the kids at my house, you know, they just love sleeping over in a hotel. What's wrong with a snail? Are you a bigot on snailism?
Well, any kind of invertebrate, to be honest. You know, I can't bear any of them. I was just wondering, I mean, if you're in France, I've always wondered this, and perhaps our listeners could help us out there. What happens when you get snails for your dinner and you put salt on them? Do they just all disappear and the shells just roll around your plate?
I don't know, and I don't want to find out. You're frightening me, Adrian. Where are we off to next?
Well, I was just wondering, actually, if you'd get people shouting out for a glass of water to try and rehydrate their dinner at some point. But if anyone's got any thoughts on that, do let me know.
Direct all those emails directly to Adrian, please.
It is worth mentioning, actually, that if anyone has any stories, do contact me on the website there, and they can send me that. I know lots of our listeners do that for me, so that is a facility if people come across anything interesting outside of your pleasant lands there.
Right, yeah. If you're listening and you know of stories or you hear of a cool story that's taking place anywhere outside of the United States, just go to darknessradio.com, click on the news desk, and you'll see a way to connect there with Adrian. You can email him. Or, again, if you're a friend of ours on MySpace, Adrian's right in the top friends. You can contact him. Add him as a friend and shoot him news stories over there. We will use him on the air. All right, where are we going to go before we have to take our bottom of the hour break here, Adrian?
Well, I'm going to quickly stay in France on all things snail-related as well. A French judge has rejected President Nicolas Sarkozy's attempts to stop the sales of voodoo dolls in his image, as discussed in last week's news.
Mm-hmm.
Dismissing the case, the Paris judge said the doll was within authorized limits of free expression and the right to humor. Mr. Sarkozy was unavailable to comment due to sharp, unexpected pains in his right knee, lower back and head. But his lawyer did say that the president would appeal against the decision. The doll comes with pins which users can stick into memorable quotes from the president printed on the doll, such as "work more to earn more." Mr. Sarkozy took the makers of the kit to the courts, and his lawyer said that he had exclusive and absolute rights over his own image. But the company refused to stop selling the kit, saying Mr. Sarkozy's reaction was totally disproportionate.
Oh, jeez. Well, you know what? And if he was truly a good politician, he would know voodoo dolls are actually meant for good. You stick the pin where you want to focus the healing. That actually doesn't work. The movie stuff where you're sticking needles and pins to hurt people, that's not what voodoo dolls are about. Did you know that, Adrian? Am I enlightening you for once?
You seem to be very knowledgeable in all things voodoo there.
I've tried, man. You know, you got to have a hobby on the weekends when you have six kids, and voodoo is the way I go. We're going to take our break. We'll be back with more international news with our correspondent, Adrian Lee, live from London. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're going to do another quick little trivia question here because I've got something cool. A holy relic has been discovered, and it doesn't lead to heaven. Meet your maker with the release of Dead Space Downfall, the must-have feature-length movie prequel to one of the hottest new video games of the year. You can also get Dead Space Downfall on DVD and Blu-ray, high def today from Anchor Bay Entertainment and EA. The first caller that can call in and correctly identify this answer, we're going to give a copy of that DVD away to. In the classic TV series The Addams Family and the movie version starring Raul Julia, I want to know the name of the two actors that portrayed Uncle Fester in the classic TV series and in the movie. First one to call in with the correct answer gets a copy of Dead Space Downfall on DVD. You want to be a part of that? Now we're going back with international news correspondent Adrian Lee. Adrian, where are we off to next in the world, sir?
Well, I've got a few stories based around Halloween, actually, in Britain. As I said before, not many people celebrate Halloween in this country. And when people do, it's one or two people don't like the idea, to be honest. So if I could stay in Britain for the moment, children's Halloween capes and masks, which catch fire three times faster than the legal limit, have been found on sale at a shop in Middlesbrough in the north of England. Trading standards officers seized the Frankenstein and witch costumes at the card factory store in the Mall. They are now urging people not to use the items and to return them to the shop for a refund. There was no immediate comment from the card factory or the importer of the products. Barry Coppinger, Middlesbrough's council's executive member for the community protection, said the potential for serious injury to a child from a dressing up item such as this cannot be overestimated. It was therefore essential that the officers acted swiftly to remove the items from the sale. Trading standards officers are now working to make sure similar stock in other areas of the country is removed from sale. I have to say, though, that I'm sure you would get the most candy, especially when a homeowner is heard saying, "These costumes get better every year. I've just seen Johnny Flame from the Fantastic Four running frantically through our backyard."
They are more lifelike, aren't they?
They are, and that would involve a lot more running around, I suspect, if you're on fire.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, to continue our theme of a lack of enthusiasm my country places upon Hallows Eve, a man from West Sussex has had to take down his Halloween decorations after neighbours complained. Graham Walls from Haywards Heath said he'd been decorating the front of his block of flats for several years and there'd been no complaints before. However, the management company in charge of the block told him he was defacing the front of the building. Mr. Walls was told if he did not remove the decorations, he would have to pay for contractors to do so instead. A statement from the estate and property management company said Mr. Walls and another tenant, Alicia Lane, had broken the terms of their lease by putting the decorations on communal parts of the building. But Mrs. Lane said it had been done for a bit of fun and was no harm intended, and it actually looked quite good as decorations. It actually brightened the place up, and it's only for two weeks of the year, she said. And I was thinking, nothing brightens up a housing estate more than some heads on spikes and a row of decaying corpses. I mean, you can see that in many built-up conurbations on a Friday night all across Britain if you care to come over here. I could certainly give you a guided tour of that.
Well, isn't that kind of, are they just a little, still a little sensitive because that's kind of the way you guys used to decorate your landscapes out there in Europe?
Yes, we did have a medieval period, which unfortunately you didn't, which tended to result in heads being placed on sticks and various bits and pieces. So that is in our psyche there. I mean, also, there's another story here. It says that a Lancashire beauty spot, known for its association with witchcraft, was actually out of bounds for motorists during Halloween. Ribble Valley Council is clamping down on those who head for Pendle Hill after an increase in numbers annually. The area's association to witchcraft dates back to the 17th century, which I think you was alluding to there, when the Pendle witch trials were held in 1612. The new restrictions have been implemented following increasing concerns about the growth of gathering over the Halloween weekend. Problems have included heavy traffic, public order offences, and the use of fireworks. Chris Shuttleworth, chairman of the event safety advisory group, said Pendle Hill now attracts thousands of visitors in a mistaken belief that an official event is actually taking place. And over the last 2 years, the event has become progressively worse in its atmosphere and behaviour. The new measures have been brought into place for reasons of health and safety, welfare, law and order, and we're asking for the cooperation of the general public. So I think what you're getting in Britain is that some people are kind of embracing the idea and are going for it, and other people aren't, and you're kind of getting this dichotomy of people that want to celebrate and those that kind of aren't fully embracing the idea, to be honest.
Well, maybe if they're not open to that, we can try to swing something with the 4th of July celebrations over there.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, wait, is it still too soon?
12 hours.
Is it still too soon? Still a tender subject that we pulled away from you, Adrian?
Yeah, it's still raw. I mean, we don't talk about George III in this country. It's still an issue for us. You wait, things will be so bad in your economy, you'll be begging to come back over here. The pound's strong, we're all happy over here. The weather's nice. We've got, medieval background and history. Give it a few months, you'll be begging to come back, I'm sure.
You are just mean to me. Where are we off to next, sir?
Okay, I've got a really interesting report here on vampire moths.
Vampire moths?
You did hear me correctly, sir. Absolutely. A previously unknown population of vampire moths has been found in Siberia. So not happy with just making holes in your sweater, they want to suck your blood and make holes in your neck too. And in a twist worthy of a Halloween horror movie, entomologists say the bloodsuckers may have evolved from purely fruit-eating species, which poses a question, will other fruit-eating species turn to bloodsucking? I was thinking, would herds of vampiric macaque monkeys rampage through gothic castles foregoing nuts and jungle fruits for a glimpse of a virgin's neck? I mean, a trip to the zoo will never be the same if you're carrying a cross and holy water in your picnic hamper.
It's, you're just frightening me, man. Vampire moths?
Yeah, a one slight variation is in their wing patterns, which distinguishes them from normal moths, but this species has evolved in Central and Southern Europe, and normally they're only known to feed on fruit, but when the Russian moths were experimented on, they offered human hands to them, and the insects drilled their hooks and barbed lined tongues into the skin and under the skin and actually sucked blood, so given the choice, they've evolved into starting to suck blood as opposed to sticking with fruit there. And I was wondering, I don't know if Nicole Rimini's still listening, our film critic, but I'm sure in a couple of years she's going to have to prepare herself for the attack of the Siberian mothman or something like that.
Yeah, no doubt. That's but that just leads me to believe there's got to be more going on, especially with things like Bigfoot, Chupacabra sightings. If we're still finding species in the year 2008, species that we didn't even know existed, or species that have adapted and are now totally taking on a totally different dimension to them, I mean, is it still so far removed to believe that there's Bigfoot and Chupacabra and Loch Ness and the other creatures out there?
Well, you can't believe that evolution would just end at this point. I mean, we're all evolving and getting, and adapting to our surroundings. I'm sure there's places in America that are starting to get used to indoor toilets and electricity, so I know it's possible.
Not down south, my friend, not down south. Where are we off to next?
Comment.
Where are we heading off to?
Well, we're going to stay in Moscow, in Russia, actually, from blood sucking to a four-course meal. This is a rather nasty story in the papers on Monday. A homeless man in Kumchatka is suspected of killing a man and recruiting two friends to chop up the body and fry parts to eat, news agencies reported. Investigators believe that a 35-year-old ex-convict killed the victim and then with two of his friends chopped up the body with knives and an axe and dumped the parts on the street of the Far Eastern region's capital. Senior prosecutor assistant Olga Fitova said that the criminals cut off muscle tissue of the victim and then fried the meat in a pan and then ate it. The 35-year-old homeless man, who previously served time in prison for murder, will stand trial on murder charges. The other men, aged 33 and 45, face charges of concealing a serious crime. And I discovered there's no article in the criminal code in Russia that specifically punishes cannibalism. So it appears by default that it's acceptable within the normal framework of society in Russia to eat your fellow man. So a loophole there for all Muscovite cannibals, if they're listening.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's... I'll have to do some research on that in Britain. But the charges for murder, but there's nothing written in the laws there to against cannibalism in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but if, so I guess if they're putting you away for murder, I mean, they really can't add much. What do you get, you know, another 14 years for not seasoning properly? I could be wrong.
For medium rare.
Exactly. All right, we got time for about one or two more short stories here. What do you got going for us?
That moving seamlessly and unnoticed between Russian cannibals to a Cypriot sea monster, so let's hope no one notices.
Not at all. Good transition.
Fantastic. Rumors are again rife that some kind of reptile, a large sea creature, is lurking below the water in Kuris Dam. Talk of the dam being occupied by a strange sea creature started to circulate 3 years ago when a report was made that a crocodile had been dumped in the deep waters. Since then, there have been countless sightings of this creature from the depths, with some local newspapers calling the mystery the Cypriot or the Cyprus Loch Ness. One citizen was so adamant that he had spotted the creature that he told a newspaper, "I watched this serpent with my own two eyes. There was no mistake." Despite the speculation, no proof has yet been found, and even the Ministry of Fisheries and Marine Affairs have drawn a blank on the Kuris mystery. From the ministry, they confirmed that it was actively searching for this particular creature, adding fuel to the rumours that the lake was home to some kind of serpent. Reports suggest that officials will try and coax the beast from the murky depths by using bait such as live hens and raw meat. And I don't know what poor hens have done to suffer that. But in recent days, rain has hampered this search. This is ongoing over the weekend, and it's expected to resume on Monday. And a local community leader, Savas, told a daily newspaper yesterday that the creature, if it's caught, will then become a tourist attraction, and facilities to house it would then be constructed, which ends that paragraph with a rather with a hint of cynicism, I feel, there.
Yeah.
As far as consumerism and promoting that kind of thing concerns, it sounds like a bit of a money spinner to me.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, when you're starting to hear, I know that there's been a lot of speculation that Loch Ness is nothing more than just a giant eel, and they found some really good evidence to support this fact. And I really like, actually, the advent of high-definition cameras has now shown us that a lot of what used to be construed as those humps that would cross in the water is nothing more than the wave pattern. And the way that the wind blows, I guess it's very windy in Loch Ness. And
it is. The interesting thing for me is a lot of the pictures that I see whilst I'm researching, I mean, there is a photograph of this particular animal, and it's the archetypal blurry kind of neck coming out of the water. But it looks exactly like the same sort of photos that I saw when I was reporting on the Swedish sea monster that appeared in a lake a couple of months ago. And it does make me wonder if there's kind of just one kind of phenomena or a species that's actually causing the same sort of photographs to be taken, to be honest.
Very well could be. They were just on Monster Quest tonight, which I think is on History Channel. Fascinating show. And, you know, I just found this out. One of the our local TV people out here, they do the their film crews, the crew that works with Ron Shiro's film crew, works for Monster Quest. And they were just showing sharks in Illinois lakes. And they were thinking it was some kind of myth. And they went out there with sonar, and they were finding sharks. They had some fishermen that claimed that they caught, like, a bull shark 10 years ago. And they were down there checking this out, and all of a sudden they started to get this ping, and you could see the shape of the shark. So the two divers went down in the night looking for this, didn't find anything. The next day they go down, they found a 12-foot shark. This thing looked like a dinosaur. Could live up to 200 years, they said. And they were just checking this thing out. 2 days after they got done filming it, they updated the show. And the guy caught a 6-foot bull shark in the lake as well. And they said what's really kind of strange to them is that I guess it's a lake that comes off of the ocean somewhere. And, you know, in Illinois, I'm not quite sure where the lake and the ocean hook up because there's got to be an underground swell somewhere. But in some of these places where these sharks are coming in, what's surprising them is that they're used to deep water swimming. And that's where they're the biggest and best predators. Why they're coming into shallow territories now has really got the scientists scratching their head. But, you know, it leads you to think that there could just be some evolutionary change creating the patterns with these animals, bringing them in to water areas that we're not used to seeing.
I know when I'm researching, I often come across stories of fishermen that drag in fish that are kind of covered in armor, the sort of thing you'd get in a restaurant, and you'd end up with an oxygen settling torch and a set of pliers to eat it.
Right.
And, you know, I often read stories as I'm searching through the internet of fishermen that hauled these fish on board that were thought to be extinct for a couple of thousand years. And again, it's very easy to mistake things. You know, if you're looking, as you said, for the shark there, or you're looking for these bits of wood floating across the Loch Ness there, right, from a distance. I mean, there was an occasion I thought I had worms, and it turned out that my mum was flushing dental floss down the toilet. So I know anything's possible, you know.
You know, one other thing, and we'll have to wrap up. It's an interesting thing, too, is there's a really rampant theory that dolphins are grays, are the aliens known as the gray race that actually adapted, that they were here on the planet. We know that this is a fact, that dolphins at one time were land-dwelling creatures. And because of the dinosaurs, they moved to the ocean. But they believe that the grays de-evolved somewhat, and that's what they've done. So that's a really fascinating. Start looking up information on that, folks, if you're interested in that. It's a really great little read. You can find out information. And I think there might be something about it on thehiddenrecords.com. Check that out. Wayne Herschel hosts that website. Adrian, we got to get flying because we got to get to Gary Beckman from The Edge Life.
Sure.
We'll have you on again next week and be back with more. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, just to promote some English literature, actually has dolphins down as being the master alien race, and all the tricks they do, and it's just purely so they can observe us. So that was actually mentioned by Brian Adams in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, that's right. Thanks for the Fish and Everything. Isn't that the name of the book?
That's the one. Right. Yeah, if I'm allowed to promote some English literature there and get some exports going.
Sure. You know, we like that guy Bill Shakespearean, too, that you guys had over there.
Yes.
He's a hell of an author.
Greatest people knocking around.
Hey, Adrian, have a good one. Thanks a lot for being a part of the show with us again and for coming in all the way from England to be a part of the Halloween party, my friend. It was good to see you.
A pleasure as always, Dave. I'm glad I carved my first pumpkin with you. It brought a lump to my throat.
Thanks, buddy. All right, stay tuned, everybody. We're going to be back with more, and we've got Gary Beckman going to join us from the EdgeLife.net and Edge Life magazine. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Another guest with us on the line right now from the Edge Life magazine. We're going to bring online with us Gary Beckman. Gary, thanks a lot for joining us here this evening, sir.
Good evening, David.
Now, you have something exciting coming up. It's taking place in November. You've got the Edge Life Expo taking place, right?
That's correct. Next weekend.
Okay. And give us a little bit of background on what's going to be happening at the Edge Life Expo.
Well, it's November 8th and 9th. The 8th are Saturdays from 10 to 7. Sunday is from 10 to 6. And, David, I think that, you know, this is the largest show of this type, or a holistic experience in Mid-America. We're on our 8th year, and like I mentioned, it's at the Minneapolis Convention Center. And as I was waiting to come on, David, I thought, all of your listeners tonight, if they want a free ticket to this event, they can tell. I'm going to give them a telephone number.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
That's fine with me, Gary.
Okay. Just want to make sure it was okay. They can call Patty at 952-406-8216. Again, 952-406-8216.
All right, great. And we'll mention that we're going to be talking in a few minutes after we get done with you at the top of the hour. We're going to have Dr. Norm Shealy on.
Fine man, David.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to have him on. You were recommending and saying he was a great speaker. We've got a lot of great topics we're going to cover with him tonight, from reincarnation to prayer to crystals and medical intuition.
His curious background, he's trained as a neurosurgeon.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's what's really impressive to me is you've got some fantastic speakers on your roster, and I'm just going through this list. You've got everything from Masters in the Path by George Catlin, A Light Collective Speaks, a special event with Catherine Harwig, Why Walk When You Can Fly.
That's
you've
a big
got
one.
Yeah, you've got Embracing Life and Death by Susan Just. I've seen Susan do some talks. She's fantastic,
yes,
really,
she is.
Really talented. Connecting with Your Angels, which I know is really popular with Sunny Dawn Johnson, is going to be doing that talk.
He comes to us from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Right.
Talk about this.
And then we also have, there's Mysteries of Psychic Experiences Revealed by Rita Louise, Dr. Rita Louise.
Yes, she's from Dallas, Texas, David.
Now, you said you've been doing this for 8 years. Do you see right now, Gary, that there's more of a swell, more of an acknowledgement of the paranormal? Is there a shift and a paradigm change going on out there globally, do you believe?
A huge one.
What do you think's driving this?
Well, I got into this field 16 years ago with the Edge Life magazine, by the way, which is available in the entire upper Midwest. The focus is really the greater Twin City area. What I believe, it's a personal belief, but also supported by many, is that the 2012 that is coming upon us very, very quickly is going to be a shift in our belief systems, both political, spiritually, physically, and we're building up to that. Just what's happening in the stock market, what's happening in the business community, and a very curious telltale one will be the election in actually 2 days from now. And so much has changed, David. Things that we talked about 10 years ago were considered absolutely off the edge.
Right.
And right now, it's accepted in mainstream. The word energy, people looked at you very strangely. You see it on the television shows, the major newspapers, and also something that you're very involved in, the paranormal.
Exactly. And there's a huge rise in the interest and popularity of that with so many TV shows, movies, magazines, books coming out.
Look at the television shows that are on. It all started with The Ghost Whisperer. It's into The Mentalist right now.
Exactly.
It's there. The other thing is you deal a lot with the UFOs. And I think by this 2012, there's going to be a major announcement from people within good standing. In other words, the English government already has acknowledged it, and the U.S. government, the French government has...
Well, even the Pope has now come out and said it's okay to believe in aliens and UFOs.
That's right. It's all from God.
It's a big shift. Well, let's mention this again. The Edge Life Expo is coming up at the Minneapolis Convention Center next weekend.
That's correct. The 8th and 9th, the show really kicks off. The doors open at 10, but Catherine Hardwick... It's almost free getting in to see this lady. It's $16 to get in to see her, and that includes a ticket to the event. And that starts at 9 o'clock. Oh, we have another big thing. Oh, almost forgot.